in a very mystical song, Zemer, that is sung in Shalshudas Sudashlishis, the third meal of Shabbos, Kel Mistater, the hidden god. It goes through all the Kabbalistic concepts of the Sefirois, which are probably beyond our scope. There's a phrase which says, Rechoivos HaNohar, the width of the river, and the river is what we are discussing, Nachle Emunah, the streams or the brooks, the rivers of faithfulness, Mayim Amukim, the deep waters, Yidleim Ishtavuno, the understanding man will draw out from them. The understanding is that Emuna, which people mistranslate as faith, is more accurately translated as faithfulness, as we've described before, comes from the word, like the same word as omein, so be it, that is what it is. The Rambam says the very first words in Hilchos Yesodei Torah is to know that there's a God. The mitzvah of Emuna is to know that there's a God. That's Emuna. The word is associated with Imma, which means a mother, because one's always more certain who the biological mother is than the father. An Uman is an expert. You don't take your car to somebody who might know about it. You take it to somebody who's an Uman, to somebody who's a real expert in the whole field of cars. Now, yesterday, we spoke about the Nachal Kishon, the river or brook of Kishon, being the guarantor for the Yom Suf to return the 1.5 times amount of dead Egyptians, which needs such an explanation. You know, what kind of a gift is that? Happy birthday, here's a corpse. Obviously needs explanation. But somehow it was some kind of guarantor that for the sea, the Nahar or the Nachal, which anyway flows to the sea, that is its guarantor. The word Orev is the Hebrew word for guarantor, which is the same word as sweetness. Now, why is that? Because a guarantor is someone who can be there for the other person. That's somebody who is faithful to the other person. And in the case of Paroi and the Yom Suf and the Nachal Kishon, all of this sort of acted as a midot keneged midot, says the Medrash, against Paroi, who tried to build himself, so to speak, a palace in the water to stop up the Nile River, because Li Oyav Enisisini, I am the river, I am the god of the river, I made myself. And the Kishon, together with the Yom Suf, guarantee real emunah to the Jewish people and real emunah in Hashem. Nahar, strangely, is associated to a word in Aramaic called Nahoira, which is light. Even the word Yoir itself, there's a discussion whether it refers only to the Nile or not, is from that word, light. What is going on? That Nahar is light, but it's river? Which one is it? I mean, clearly in Tanakh, it almost certainly means river, but in Gemara terms, and actually in other places in Daniel, Nahoiro is referring to light. Interestingly, the Ramban sheds light on this, where he says that actually the rain comes because of the Ma'oirois, the lights. What does that mean? It's because the sea, as we've explained in the cycle in previous installment, evaporates the sun evaporates the salt water that goes upwards, so that's the sun, that's the light of the sun, and the rivers get their sustenance from the rain in this cycle. Says Yisyachis ela Ovois, the Ramban, is a very strange phrase referring to the fact that the Shemesh, the sun, is seen somehow as some kind of father, and the child, the sun, is the Nohor. Esoteric things going on over there. But that for sure is already a connection between the river, and that faithfulness is Nohorois Yimcha Uchof. Yachat Har Miranenu, the rivers and the mountains, the rivers clap hands and the mountains exult together. They rejoice together because there is a partnership, a real partnership that is going on over here. But I was wondering, why does it need to be that it goes from salty to sweet? Why does it need to be that like that? And if you think about it, the world does appear to be like that. The famous story of the Sea of Tears, the Kotzker Rebbe lost his best friend, the Reb Yitzchak Avucha, the Vuka Rebbe, and he was expecting to appear to him after a few days in a dream, and he didn't. So when he went to sleep that night, he went up to Shemayim, his soul went to Shemayim and said, well, have you seen Reb Yitzchak? And they said, yeah, we've seen him, but he's not here anymore. And he went to one study hall after another. Yeah, he was here, but he's moved. And he's desperate. Where's my friend? Where's Reb Yitzchak? Eventually, some malachim tell him, well, he was here, but he's gone that way. And they point to the direction of a very dark forest. And he goes through this dark forest, very scary forest. And towards the end, he's about to run away. He hears the lapping of waters. And he doesn't want to go too close because it's such a scary place. And then he realizes that there's a man standing there. And it's Reb Yitzchak, his friend, his best friend. And he says, oh, Reb Yitzchak, there you are. And he embraces him. And he says to him, what are you doing here? And Reb Yitzchak turns to him and says, Reb Menachem Mendel, do you not know where this is? What this is? He goes, no, what is this? He goes, this is the sea of tears of all the crying that our people have done. And when I came to this place, I said to God, I'm not moving from here until these tears have been dried up, until they've been answered, this giant ocean of tears. But what is this? We've come across the crying waters as well. Mayim Boichim, we said the lower waters cried salty tears because they weren't up in Shamayim. Yet in the end, through the cycle, it ends up as sweet rain because of the sunlight, because you see the light. It's an amazing thing that sometimes when you only afterwards see what it was that you cried for has actually been answered. That's why the tears of sorrow turn to tears of joy. Shari demois lo ninolu. That's why the gates of tears are never closed. Those mayim boichim, those crying waters, those tears are always, always there. Even when it looks so bleak, even when it looks so dark, no, there's always something there. The Gemara in Tanis in Daf Chaf Aleph tells this incredible story about Nachum Ish Gamzu, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, famous for saying Gamzu Latova. That's why it's called Ish Gamzu, the one who said this too is for the good. He was sent on a mission to the Emperor of Rome. And when he comes to the emperor, he's faced with a bit of a dilemma. Because, you see, the sages had given him gold, silver, gems, etc., in order to save the Jewish people, in order to give as a gift and to bribe. But on his way, he'd stopped off in an inn. And in the inn, they had stolen the gems from the box and replaced it with earth. And once that had happened, he opens up the box and he says, oh no, Gamzu Latova though, this too is for the good. He presents it to the emperor. The emperor looks at it and he goes, these Jews, I'm going to destroy them all. He opens a box full of earth. What an insult. And then, because Nachum Ish Gamzu is such a great man, the Gemara tells us that Eliyahu HaNavi appeared and said, perhaps your majesty, he appeared as one of the emperor's men. Perhaps this is some of the special earth of his ancestor Avraham Avinu, who used it against the four kings to destroy them. Really? Let's try it. And they went to one of the battlefronts that had been disturbing the Romans. They'd never managed to defeat this army, and they used it. Sure enough, as the Medrash that we know about Avraham, they throw the earth, it turns into arrows, and they managed to defeat the enemy that they never managed to conquer till then. The emperor was delighted and he rewarded Nachum Ish Gamzu with even more stuff on the way back. When the innkeeper and his cronies heard about this, they knocked down the whole inn, packed all the stuff, all the earth from there into crates, took it to the emperor, who, and they said, what is this? He goes, it's the same earth that we gave to that guy Nachum. And he goes, oh really? Let's try it out. He threw it in the air, nothing happened, and he actually killed them. The crazy thing is that if we are on Nachum Ish Gamzu's level, then we'd see Gamzu Latova. Sometimes you see the sunshine through the rain, but usually we don't. Usually we would just see the bitterness, those salty waters, and we remain with them as tears of sorrow. Our job is to turn those nachali demois, the sea of tears, the rivers of tears, into something which is a sea of emunah. That way, we will be singing out as the rivers, and the mountains too, that we have total reliance in Hashem.